Yeah, after such a lot of practical experience, one step to the background for this work of to the background of these metadata, which are, as we've seen in most cases, the IPDC photo metadata. And the IPDC photo metadata have been updated in 2014, in November 2014. And first me and then Sara will give you a short overview of what has been changed in this context. So photo metadata, what is it good for? What is the intention for them? So the IPDC photo metadata sets the industry standards for administrative, descriptive, and copyright information about the images. So that means this way it enables a flawless and interoperable exchange of metadata. So it's not only for your own purposes, in-house purposes. Please don't forget one of the key features or key roles of metadata is it's made to communicate your metadata to somebody else. So this should be something you have in mind. And this works if the users comply with the specification. Because when Uta pointed at the sunshine and the weather values in metadata, I recall a recommendation by a small photo agency saying, put always the climate instruction into the instructions field. Okay, yeah. Good to know that the instructions reflect the climate, so temperature and so on. Okay. So photo metadata standard, what is that exactly? So it defines a set of fields for holding a value. These sets are called IPDC core and IPDC extension and look like this one. So this is a screenshot from Adobe Bridge. And this is what you see there, a list of field names of labels and then values attached to it. Okay. For each field, the photo metadata standard defines the semantics. That means what kind of value should it hold. So it's a textual description of the image, the name of the photographer. So this is what is defined. So it's more than just the label. So we have for all the field also such a free text description to make clear and transparent and also consistent the use of this field. Then a recommended label for the user interface, like description or creator for these two semantics above. Then a data type, so we say it should be a text, a date, a number, URL. And how many times it may be used for a photo. So one time or many times, so I think many of you will be happy that it's not only one keyword, but it is a many keywords, but on the other hand, a created date may appear only one time. I guess photos cannot be created multiple times. Then a globally unique identifier for the property. So that means that the technical machinery, the software is able to clearly find out what field is meant by that, because unfortunately, or also, first, in a single language like English, the recommended labels are not always adopted. So it's known that for the same field, even on a consistently English user interface, there pop up different labels. And the second axis of that is across different languages. So they have to be in the background and identify that it says this is field so and so. And how this field is embedded into an image file. So there are two technologies for that, the so-called IPDC IAM format, and the other one is the XMP format. So I don't want to dig too deep into that, but only make you aware that are the levels of definitions covered by the photo metadata standards. And this standard has to be implemented by software. That's also important, and I would also to say there are actually a three-party actionist photo metadata. Standardization, organization like IPDC, users like you, and as a kind of man in the middle, the software makers. Okay. We have data for describing the images as a whole. So going down, oops, too fast, sorry. So we have the title, headline, description, and free text keywords, which are well known, but new now in 2014, we have the terms about the image, which can be taken now from a controlled vocabulary in a way where the identifier of the controlled vocabulary is used for that. Then we have still the genre and the scene codes, so only the green one there is new. Then we have for entities, that means for objects which have names and are defined as something which is shared and known. So we have there for locations, first where the picture has been taken and locations which are shown in the image. Then person shown in the image. So far we had only names for them, and now in 2014 we added details about them, to have their identifiers for them, to have there some descriptions of these persons, maybe also actions they are taking. So person pill blue is running in this image. Then the models shown in the image, organizations and companies featured by the image. And as Solveig mentioned, this events shown or featured by the image. And also a big object there is the artworks or objects in the image. That means any type of artwork, pictures, sculptures, whatever. And also objects, that means a building, which are shown in the image and maybe copyrighted. And this has been also extended in 2014. And then quite new is products shown in the image, because there are so many product-focused images that we have been adding this. Then metadata for exerting rights. We have the image creator, we have the copyright owner, we have the copyright notice, the credit line, the source, the model release status plus an ID if releases are available, the same for property releases, status and ID. And two new things, we have embedded encoded rights expressions and linked encoded rights expressions, because there are rights expression languages out there, and there was a requirement, we want to stick them to a photo in some way. And we have found that are two, let's say, alternative ways, either embed it or to link it. But then you can use one of the existing rights expression languages to get very close sticking to this image. And this could improve also the rights management. The photo metadata for licensing. There is a license and rights usage terms. And as rights expression language are used for asserting rights, but also for licensing, they also can be used for this purpose. For the administration, I think they are quite well known, date created, description writer, instruction, job ID, digital image, globally unique identifier, and an image registry entry. So these two last ones are for identifiers reflect or applied to this image. Then we have an image supplier plus his image ID. And let's have a look at the new fields. So the terms from a controlled vocabulary, they include a unique identifier of the term, which is quite typical for controlled vocabularies to have there an identifier, and an identifier of the controlled vocabulary from where this identifier for the term has been taken. A name in different languages. So this could solve this problem of having bilingual. You have one identifier, but you have names of this term in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different languages. And a refinement of the assertion about the image. So say, okay, this is about the image and in particular about the emotions shown in the image. Oh, sorry, wrong button. Then we have the encoded rights expressions, which cover a serialized rights expression. So this is about something like a text string. I don't want to dig too deep into that, but I think the experts on rights expression will see exactly what this covers. And it could communicate something like Germany out or for display on websites only and such restrictions. Then the person in the image has a name, a description, characteristics, and an identifier. So that are the details now which have been extended in 2014. The product shown in the image has a name, a description, and a specific identifier, a so-called GTIN. I think most of you will know this as EAN barcode. So if you buy something, I would say 99% of the things which you buy have such a barcode on it, and then below the barcode is a sequence of digits, and that's exactly the value which should go into this field. And we have there the photo metadata artwork or object in the image, which has been extended in 2014. So you see there in white the existing field and in green the added field. And yeah, Sarah will show you how this looks.
So I'm just going to talk about the heritage fields. Just to remind you where we started with them, we wanted fields useful when the image goes public, in other words, when it goes beyond collections management and the museum itself. We wanted information about the digital image and key descriptive aspects of the underlying artwork. And we wanted to identify the source, creator, and copyright. Principles we were working on were we wanted to support registry entries and machine-readable data, we wanted to display human-readable data and link to authoritative sources where possible. And we were also, very importantly, wanted to create a case for non-art objects and the way they're sourced, like archaeological artefacts, which don't have, like, for example, a creator in the same way. So we've got another field to include that. And we wanted to include both display and search metadata. We did consult with a number of different people across the museum's field. We had three iterations of this. This was a sort of mini project within the IPTC 2014. We couldn't add an unlimited number of fields, but there is a separate SCREM project, which I'm working on with Greg Reeser in the US. We worked on these fields, and we are going to take it further outside of IPTC to create a schema for more, a deeper schema for heritage fields for use by institutions. So these are the new fields. The really, really important kind of big holes we had before were the circa date, which clearly in heritage you don't always have an exact date. So that was important. We've got the usual sort of addition of IDs and source inventory URLs. This is registries and authoritative data, importantly, so that people can, that people are always saying, well, you know, in IPTC all you see is the data as it is today. And that's true. It's a snapshot. So where possible, we're including a URL that goes back to the museum original source data, which can be dynamic. So in this case, this triangle of people, you've got the user. I'm a user because I work with museums. And you've got the standards organisation, which I'm part of IPTC. But I'm also part of a group that's in this case, we don't yet have these new fields in Adobe products yet. So I had an email from a photographer saying, this is wonderful in heritage. I love your fields, but how do we enter them? Where? So I got together with Greg Reeser in the States, and he writes these panels. He's been working with the VRA for years. And we have actually created a panel. And we're going to ask anyone who's here who works in heritage, please do help us test this panel, which we're going to release. It's just going to be something we release from IPTC for anyone to use. And that's where to email. We also, so this is part of the testing of the panel, which is now going to be just released next week. But just to show you approximately what it looks like, so we have the artwork object fields on the left there, and you can see that the content description, the content description is actually the description of what's in the artwork and object, which is as distinct from the description on the right here, which is the description of the image. I mean, quite often they're the same, but what you'll see is what we do here. So the contribution description here is intended to include... Now, this, of course, is one place where I am actually not being granular in this case, because we're including finding, excavating, publishing, all the other forms of creation that are not distinctly the creator of the artwork. There were lots of various different reasons, including technical, why we ended up doing this. But we thought it was really important to include... I mean, we had the British Museum were part of our group, and it was obviously very important to include objects that are not just artworks with a creator. So we have created there a field which includes all other contributions to an object or artwork in the image. And, okay, so all the other usual copyright notice all applying to the artwork. These are the image, the usual IPTC image fields on the right. And you can see that applied to that image. On the next, if you click up at the top, now what you can do here is we've taken that data and we've clicked fill here. And what that does is simply concatenate into the description field of the image. It concatenates the object description, the style period, and the contribution description, and I think the physical description. So this is a really useful bit of tool where you have your granular data in your IPTC fields about the artwork and object, and you concatenate them with separators into the description field in the image part of the IPTC, which means the good thing about that, I mean, this is something we do in Heritage, is that if your image does hit systems which don't read the IPTC extension fields, which we know there are lots of systems that don't, we have then concatenated that data into the description field. So we've got both the best of both worlds. We've got the granular data, and we've got it concatenated so that anyone can read it. And this is the next part of the panel, which has just got all the usual image rights and image admin data on it. So this is a panel which enables anyone in Heritage to add data to a panel so that it's in the XMP and can also read it. And that's going to be available next week for testing. So anyone who's interested, talk to me, email me, and that will enable the Heritage field at least to add and read data. Thank you.
So what to expect from the IPTC photo metadata? So you can go to the IPTC website. So this is the long URL which can be used if you download this presentation. For a quick start, go to the IPTC website and go to the photo metadata section. It covers the latest version of the standard. But our plans for the next months is we will update the IPTC photo metadata guidelines. So we hope we are able to do this over summertime. They should be available in autumn. Then the next big step is encouraging system vendors to implement the extensions, because as I said, the men in the middle, the software makers, are quite essential. Having good standards and interests of users is not sufficient. You have to have software which supports that. And we also will have an initiative for consistent metadata management across different software to avoid unexpected loss of metadata. That means we found out some software is currently moving out or stripping out unknown metadata fields. So we are trying to avoid this and to fix that problem. Okay, so thank you. That's all about our photometadata 2014 version released last winter, and we hope to make it bright and shining this year.